you know, the revelation simply means to unveil, to open up, that it would be revealed to the people who are reading it. Again, we've looked into this book, and it starts out with a blessing, and it ends with a blessing. If you read it, you and again, we don't have to understand everything. We're going to see things in these next couple verses and this next couple of chapters that right now we're looking at it like through a dirty glass. But the closer we get, the clearer it will become. And the thing about prophecy, you really don't understand it until you're in it or past it. Right? It's always easy to see prophecy in the rearview mirror because you saw it. Yeah. You saw what Jesus said about it. You saw what the prophet said about it. And you saw the faithfulness of God in it. And knowing this, regardless of how bad things are going to get, it is well with my soul. Even so, Lord Jesus God. Right? We ought to have that spirit, that understanding. It may get weird. It might get difficult. But God. Right? And hold on to those things as we get into this study now. And so last week we closed up with a pale horse. Pale horse was coming, death and hell was coming with him or following after him. It says that a quarter of all humankind was killed. What are the liberals trying to do right now?
Kill us.
They're trying, they're trying to kill us. Well, they have a number that they say that they need to get the population down to. If they can get the population down to this, the world's just going to be roses. It's just going to be sun, big, orange, bright, peachy sunshine 24 hours a day. It's just going to be heaven on earth. It's a little bit over a quarter, all right? But God says right here that when these horses are coming, when these people are coming, when this new world is coming to its own, that there will be one quarter of all humankind dies.
One of the big deceptions with them is they think they can survive, right?
Yeah.
Christ said, mm-hmm. if he didn't shorten the days, there'd be no flesh
right.
left. So they wouldn't even survive what they're going to do.
Yes. And remember the God that we're serving. This is the God that spoke and things happened. He made everything out of nothing. Right? We're serving an awesome, mighty, fearful God. Unfortunately, the church really doesn't fear God anymore because of the 60s and 70s. You know, Jesus, he's your friend. You don't need to fear God. You don't need to reverence the Lord. Oh, he'll forgive you. Now, don't get me wrong. He will forgive you. But you need to repent. You know, and that's something that's been missing from the pulpits for 100 years. You know, a real understanding of holiness. In that, we know that it says that a quarter will be killed. They'll be killed in certain ways, by hunger, by death, and by wild beasts. Jesus talked about the same period of time in Matthew 24, verse 7, the latter part of it. Talks about pestilences. There'll be different things. There'll be viruses coming, pestilences, sicknesses that are coming up that's going to kill people. It's going to kill humankind. There'll be COVIDs coming. Rovids of COVIDs. And on top of that, they're going to be giving you shots that's going to help die people, kill people off, you know? And so, he also says in 24 verse 8 that you'll be hated for the name of Christ. Think about that. If you stand for Jesus Christ, you put on your own, Twitter?
Instagram.
You put on your own private Instagram page that you believe that there's only two genders. That the Bible proves that marriage is between one man and one woman, period. Right? And that you, regardless of how you feel, you're either one or the other. The world system's going to hate you for that. When you stand up and say, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to the Father but through Him. If you say that, you stand for that, guess what? They'll hate you. They'll come after you like wild dogs. And that's okay. It is okay. But think of it on the other hand. If we don't stand for that, we're going to be cast out of the presence of God. If we deny Him, He's going to deny us before the holy angels. So who do you fear? Well, I mean, what can man do to you? Kill you? Big deal. Send me home. My lunch is packed. You know, I'm ready for that. It's okay. Go ahead.
As I heard one radio preacher say, "You can't scare me with heaven."
Yeah. You can't scare me with heaven. I like it. I think I put that on a bumper sticker. You can use that on your car. And so anyhow, after that, then in chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, we didn't even touch on this last week at all. So if we'll open up right there in Revelation chapter 6 and verses 9 to 11 as we get into that. Verse 9. "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them which dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season," that's important, "a little season, until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Where's the church here?
It's still there.
All right, you've got church in two different places right now. They're being slaughtered. There are those who are being martyred. All right? They had been martyred, and they were underneath the altar of God, the altar of incense.
Yeah, the souls.
The souls, yeah. Their bodies are decaying on the earth. All right? But the people, because who here knows that your body isn't really you?
Right.
Okay? I'm looking at a manufactured dust ball, all right? We're animated dirt balls. That's really all we are. But the real person is on the inside of you. The real person is your spirit, your soul. Paul said, "I don't know what it will be when I see him, but when I see him, I will be like him." That this corruption must be cast off, that I can put on incorruption. So there's coming a time that this picture of sin, which your flesh is a picture of sin, is going to be cast off. And that's okay. You know, from the dust you came, the dust you shall return. But you will go to the God that you worship while you were on this earth. The God that you made, or the God that made you. So that could go a whole lot of different avenues there. As he saw the souls under the altar, they were slain for what reason?
God.
For God. So why would somebody kill you? Is there any other evidences of that that Jesus spoke of, that Paul spoke of, that anybody? Come on, y'all are Bible scholars here. Mm-hmm. Ring around the
table. For his namesake.
For his namesake, yeah. You will be hated. You'll be persecuted. And he who endures when?
Till the end.
Till the end. All right, that's pretty interesting. Till halfway. No. How long till the when?
When is the end? The end.
Yeah. When is the end? The end.
Yeah, yeah. Last trumpet.
The last trumpet, right?
When's the last day? The last day.
When's the last day? The last day, right? And so, Jesus said, and we talked about this in John chapter 6. He said it three times: at the last trumpet, at the last trumpet, at the last trumpet. Okay.
Yeah.
So that lets me know that there's the beginning of trumpets. There's the end of trumpets. All right. There's that time. These folks that are under the altar, how many souls are under the... I'm not asking for a number. Theologically, how many souls are under the altar of God? From where to when?
All.
Right. Anybody who died in Christ. So, where's Moses?
He's
under the altar. Where's Abraham? He's under the altar. The thief that died on the cross that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, what did Jesus tell him that he was going to be in?
Paradise.
Today you're going to be in paradise. And he wasn't shooting craps. Paradise. Yeah. So, where did I come up with these? And so, anyhow,
the depths
of the recesses of wickedness that's in me. So, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So, when did he get to paradise?
As soon as he died.
Quick as he died. When are you going to get to paradise?
As soon as you die.
As soon as you die. If you are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
All right. Now, if you're not in Christ Jesus, there's a different hold pen for you.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how big it is under the altar of God, but it is big enough.
Dimensional.
It's, yes. Yeah, well, thank you. Because we think in square footage. In the heavenly realms, in the, what did you call it? The fourth dimension? The fourth dimension? When you're in the fourth dimension, things, matter changes. The, what we consider physical matter, walls, that, well, I can't walk through that wall. But when Jesus was in his glorified body, he could walk through the wall. Right? When he told the molecules in the water to be sturdy enough that he could walk on them, he was in that dimension, because when Peter believed him by faith and stepped out of the boat, I don't know for how long he was in that dimension, but until he took his eyes off of Christ, he was there.
When Philip was transported to the Ethiopian eunuch,
beautiful.
He stepped right through.
He stepped right through time and space, and miles.
The dimension's going to open. Mm-hmm. He appears.
Yes. Yep, and we'll talk about that, because when we get into this, we're going to see that the heavens depart. And there's so much scripture about that. Now, the church, there's many people that have died. Jesus even said that, Jerusalem, you have murdered your prophets. Right? You had murdered from the first prophet all the way until John the Baptizer was murdered. And he said that you're going to murder me too. Right? All of those prophets have died. They're under the altar. All the ones who had trusted Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and died, they're under the altar. Now, these ones who were under the altar that were martyred, not the ones who died a natural death. These are the ones that were martyred. Specific worded verbiage here, the martyred ones. They're complaining, well, not complaining, putting forth a question. How long? How long? Just
for a season.
For a season. For a little season. Just chill out. And there's a that lets me know that there's a time thing that happens here. This is a little season until your other saints, your brothers, are martyred in the same way that you are. So if the church isn't on the earth at this time, we floated away in chapter 4, the first part of chapter 4, you know, where you just, wah, you know, we got there. Who's he talking about? Who are the ones that are going to lose their lives on this planet for another season? For another little while. Now, and think about this.
The Holy Ghost would have to still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to see some interesting things, because there's the ceiling of 144,000. And they're going to be preaching the gospel. Folks are going to be coming to the Lord during that time. We can show that in Scripture. Lord willing, we'll get there. In this looking into this dimensional process of death of the flesh and entering into real life, because that's what I look at it as. Right. What we have around us right now is tangible, but it's not real. You know that? The things that we call real, they're temporary. They're only here, they're like a wisp of smoke. They're here for a moment and then they're gone. We know that from Peter, 2 Peter talks about that the elements are going to burn with a fervent heat. And that when the new heaven and the new earth appear, happen, that there's going to be no more sea. All this blue stuff you see on the map up there, it's going to be gone. All of the mountains that we call our mountains, all these high peaks, they're all going to be level. We're going to live in a different dimensional plane. I don't know what that looks like. Flat Earth, yes.
Yeah. Well, the greatest earthquake is going to occur when Christ touches down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's when the mountains are going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the cracks in the earth will take the seas.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, sister.
What I'm getting from this, and just it's a little bit off, but first of all, they're aware of what's going on.
Amen.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And are in direct communion with
the
Lord.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Not resurrected, though.
Yeah. There's soul witnesses. Yes.
Right. Witnesses.
Verse 11 right there proves it.
Yep.
Go ahead. You know, the white robes are given. They're not clothed yet.
Yes.
They're given.
They're given.
Yeah. So there's no rapture, resurrection are the same event.
Right.
The
grave for people walking the earth yet, they're going to be murdered.
Yes.
Right. So mm-hmm. there is no rapture yet.
That's right. Right. Yes. Right into the this is pulling right into
that. That earthquake that Jake mentioned, would that be worldwide or just Jerusalem?
Worldwide.
He says that, well, the moment he steps on Mount... thank you. Yeah. Yeah. He steps there, and there's a specific thing that's going to split open, right?
Right.
There's going to be a huge valley.
Right.
But there is an earthquake that's going to happen that's going to take Mount Everest and shake it to the ground.
He said he's going to shake the earth.
The earth, right.
Isaiah.
Then the islands, yeah, we'll get into Isaiah 24 and 13, that the islands of the earth are going to be moved.
Exactly.
All right, we saw a little tip of this not many years ago. Japan moved 12 feet. Their earthquake is the thing they called the
tsunami.
Yeah, you know, it was the tsunami and the radioactive thing happened. Yeah. Y'all come on in.
Fuji.
Yeah, Fuji. I thought that was a camera.
Yeah.
Now, and not only that, but Jesus talked about the resurrection of the dead. He said to obtain that world.
Yeah.
So you need a resurrected world for your resurrected body.
And so, yes, absolutely. And these things are very real, they're very tangible, and the church, those who are the ecclesia that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to see them. We're going to have an opportunity, now this sounds crazy, but it's a great opportunity, to refuse the authority of the New World Order unto death. All right, the mark of the beast. We're now, not all of us, because some of us are, we're going to die, you know, and we're going to be underneath the altar of God.
We have to embrace it.
Yes.
And understand that as the gift of God,
yes,
to die for His name.
Amen.
The whole mindset has to change.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That
it's not self-preservation. It's a sacrifice.
It's a sacrifice.
Right.
Jesus, a great picture of this. He willingly gave His life to buy the sin debt of the world. Now, we're not going to buy the sin debt of the world, but because my sin was paid for, I need to be willingly able, willingly offering my life's breath for His glory. All right? That's not being taught in most churches today. Most churches, go ahead.
The preacher of rapture does not glorify Jesus Christ.
No. You're right.
Your martyrdom, your persecution glorifies Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about the revelation is about Jesus.
Yes.
It's about Jesus.
Man, come on. You're right. It's not about the church. It's not about the things that are going to go on.
Right.
Now, He let us have a window into the things that are going to go on. He told us these things that we wouldn't panic while they're going on. Now, if you've been taught, as I was, that we're going to be out of here before any of this happens, when you see this happen, wouldn't you be afraid? If you were taught that you're not going to see the mark of the beast, you're taught that you're not going to be, you're going to have to suffer these things, you're taught that stuff, when you see them happening, your faith is going to stumble. It's going to fall. It's a falling away. I was told that we were going to levitate out of here before any of this happened. Go ahead.
Were you convinced the Bible says that? Pretty much?
I was convinced, I was taught that, but I hadn't really read the scriptures until recently.
Well, most people are convinced that the Bible says that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Because they take a scripture or a couple of scriptures. One is we're not to suffer wrath.
Right.
Okay. All right, we've got to understand the difference between tribulation and wrath. There's a huge difference. Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. Go ahead.
God can protect those
Amen.
On the earth at
yes,
that time
yeah.
and still rain wrath.
Do you have a picture of that?
Yes, right. Amen.
Do you have a picture of that?
Yeah, right.
Or is it just your opinion?
The Hebrews leave in Egypt.
Yeah.
And while they were there,
Goshen.
Seeing the
Goshen, yeah. I want my potion.
Sea crossing.
Yes.
The whole thing.
Absolutely. God giving them manna in the wilderness for 40 years. Walking the water from the rock. All of that is provision of God in desperate times.
Revelation
12. When we get there, because once we get out of this portion here and get to the trumpet and the vial judgments, we're going to get into Revelation 11, 12, and 13, which are full of symbolic meaning. But it's telling you the same story that we've just learned from 6, 7, and 8. Okay, it's the same account in a different picture. It's pretty awesome when you start thinking of it that way. Go ahead.
I'm not refuting what you said, but I still stumble, I guess, because of Lot and Noah.
Uh-huh.
So how do you square that?
They were taken out before wrath.
Yes, they were taken out before wrath.
God poured his wrath out at the flood and at Sodom. That's
right.
When he removed them. They were in tribulation during that time.
Yeah.
No, Lot's righteous soul was vexed being in Sodom.
Absolutely.
And they're persecuting him. Who are you? I don't mean to.
Right.
I'm
sorry. No, you're doing this over here.
So the same thing with Noah. Noah is God's wrath being poured.
Yeah.
God's wrath is him destroying things out of his fierce anger.
Absolutely.
And tribulation is what he goes through, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever.
Yes.
So Noah, it says the same day Noah entered the ark, the windows of heaven broke open. So what direction was Noah going as the flood was coming?
Yeah,
he was wrath was coming down.
They went up. He was going up.
See, that's what people try to use that for three trip, but it's actually you're being removed before the wrath.
Yeah,
there's one. The day of wrath is one day.
Yeah, and it's a horrible day. You know, don't think of it as wow, we're going to have unicorns and rainbows today.
Right.
It's a Lucky Charms day. No, this is a horrible day.
Everything they use. Is they take half verses.
Yeah.
And even when they say no man knoweth the day or the hour, but when you go read that in Matthew 24, it's after the tribulation of those days, no man knoweth the day and the hour.
Because you can take them out of context. And that's what we're trying to do here, keep things in order.
Sir,
go ahead.
I've heard some churches teach that Noah and his family went on the ark on day one and sat on the ark for 7 days. And that's not true, doesn't say.
Christ, again.
The same day they went on the ark, the flood came.
Flood came.
And that's what I got when I read the story in Genesis.
Yeah.
But then I heard people telling me that, well, they went on the ark on day one.
I just got a little verbiage correction there. It's not a story. Pinocchio is a story. This is an account. All right. And because often we say, well, this is the story of this, this is this. And people, what do they immediately think of? A story, Dr. Seuss thing.
It's
all doctrine. You're absolutely right. On the day the things began, God sealed. Yes.
26 through 30,
And so before the wrath of God comes, the church will be taken out. But
I understand this.
Yes, go ahead.
When Israel surrounded Jericho,
come on.
It was the seventh day. The seventh day, and what does it say? It says they went on the seven times the walls, and then they went straight up.
Yeah.
The seventh day, they went straight.
Yeah.
The
walls came tumbling down.
The walls came
down. And there was still one Gentile and a family of Gentiles that got saved in the midst of that.
And that part of the wall.
They even named a candy bar after.
That part of the wall never fell.
Yeah, you're right.
Just that one little section.
Yeah.
Even the typologies throughout the whole Bible.
Yes.
Throughout the whole Bible. He rescues at the end.
At the end.
Even when he backed Israel in the corner there against the Red Sea.
Yeah.
He rescued him that day and poured his wrath out on Pharaoh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's true.
You know? And so every anti-type, every picture of the things that are going to happen are photographed in the Old Testament. It's just in black and white. But we will see it as time evolves in color. We'll be more in tune to the things as we see them unfolding before us. Y'all ever see those Japanese fans? You know, you open up a little and a little bit, and there's a picture. The more you open it, the better the picture becomes. And so this revelation is like that. We're opening up this glorious fan of God that's telling us the things that are going to happen. So when they happen, we won't be taken back by them.
See through a glass darkly.
There you go. That's the scripture I was thinking of earlier about looking through a smoky glass. Smoky glass. But we see through it darkly until the day of illumination. Until you see it coming to pass. Now, go ahead.
But the more you read the scripture and really focus on what it's saying, I think the tint of the window becomes clearer.
Yes. Well, the closer you get, the more clear you see.
Solar light.
Yes.
Knowing the scripture right. helps you to see the less dark.
Yeah, absolutely. And go ahead.
When we ask God for revelation, He's faithful to give it to us.
Yes.
When we're reading, and then we're actually seeking the wisdom that we're looking for,
yeah.
He's faithful to give it to us.
Absolutely. If we lack wisdom, ask of the Lord, He will give it to you. Right? Now, when He gives you wisdom or unveils your mind on a certain subject, should you go to a commentary?
No.
What is a commentary?
Opinion.
My opinion about what I think it happens. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been blessed by a lot of commentaries. I really have. But you cannot use them as scripture. Scripture, commentaries, and opinion.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've heard the same thing about Noah before, and I thought because Christ said until he went into the boat, and they didn't even know, you know, that it was coming. The same thing, though, it does say for 7 days, and then it started raining for 40 days. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
he says come into the ark for in 7 days.
Right.
But then so what's actually happening
there?
He actually knows when the event is going to take place.
Right, right.
And the same thing Christ tells us in Luke 21, when you see these things,
yes,
not some imminent rapture, but when you see these
watch things, then look
up. Nobody is walking around like this.
Who here has ever moved? All right, so when you start moving, do you just move into your house or do you start bringing things into the house? How long do you think it would have took to bring all of the supplies it's going to take to last for the time?
Yeah.
So God says, hey, you got 7 days, pack your stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Make sure you got all your diapers you're going to need. Make sure you got all the food you're going to need. Make sure you have all of your things locked up because it's going to be a rough ride.
And that's why I don't mean to keep jumping in
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they do. They take verses like that where he said...
For your 7 days.
But you need to walk circumspectly around the whole verse,
yes.
the whole story, because when you keep reading, it says, the self-same day Noah entered
the
ark.
That's exactly what I always said. Right, that's why I always said.
But the idea here is they knew.
Yep.
We're going to know.
Yes.
As it's approaching.
When he went in,
like you're saying, it's starting to open up. And we're going to know. We're going to see the abomination of desolation. We're going to see it.
Now,
we'll see that.
So many people that are born again believers don't think we'll see that. They tell me, and I've heard this from people I love and respect, Matthew 24 is for the Hebrews, not for the church.
It says nowhere.
No, please. That's why I say, show me the verse. Where does it, if that's true, then what part of the gospel does belong to the church?
That's right.
Because Jesus came to seek the lost of Israel. Right? He even told the Gentile lady, hey, I have nothing to do with you, chick. Paraphrasing.
Matthew just shows he's a Messiah.
Yeah.
That's all it does. Shows
all
he's
does.
A Messiah. But he's
right?
our Messiah.
Yes. He is, he is the Messiah. You know, he's the for the Jews and for the Gentiles, right? He came to seek and save all that was lost and paid that whole price. We have been taught by really smart guys. And that note where all the silent letters are hid when you say Melchizedek, right? And you know how to spell it and all that kind of stuff. They're really, really intelligent folks. I'm not taking anything away from that. But when they tell you something that is not lining up with what the Bible plainly says, and this is just plainly saying, don't try to read into this more than what it says. There is no in-between lines in the Word of God. There's the lines, and that's it.
Well, people that have told me that Matthew isn't for us because they don't like Matthew 24, I asked them, well, is Mark for us? And they said, yeah, that's for us. Well, that's almost word for word
what Matthew says. Yeah.
13.
Absolutely. Or was the writings of Paul for us? Or was it only for the church of Thessalonica?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It is for the ecclesia, for the body of Christ.
And so, one of the problems with that might be, in fact, that they had no knowledge of the church age.
Amen.
And they ask him, what are the signs of thy coming? And they're looking for his second coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the church was hid from them
until
Acts begins.
Yes. And so, who was the only prophet that saw the Gentiles being saved? Just a real quick Bible quiz here.
Isaiah.
There you go, Isaiah. Isaiah, out of all the prophets that are in the Bible, Isaiah is the only one who was given a glimpse of the church. Does that mean that the church wasn't in all of the prophecies? Or none of the prophecies are aligned with the church?
The story revealed.
Absolutely. So what the prophet saw, if you could picture this, if you're a prophet and you're standing out, you see mountain peaks of times and events. God exposes those to you. Right? And in between those mountain peaks is what? A valley of time. They were not privy to that. They weren't. God didn't show it to them. Why did God didn't show it to them? He didn't get to heaven asking. I don't know.
The Old Testament, he called them the church in the wilderness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what happened at Pentecost is the Gentiles were invited in.
Yes.
So there's always been an ecclesia of belief.
Yes, there has. Abraham believed before Moses. And it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Abraham offered a tithe to Melchizedek before the law. Jacob, before the law, he gave 10% to the Lord.
They were doing blood sacrifice because they knew that
Abel.
They knew that there had to be a blood sacrifice for sin.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that from Adam.
Yeah,
because the owl leaves weren't, or whatever leaves they were using, were good enough. And the animal skin.
Right.
Blood had to be shed.
And that was picturing forward to Christ.
Yes. And we're still. Good.
It always has been.
Yeah, always has been.
God's grace.
God's grace. And that without the remission of blood, there remains no sacrifice for sin. There had to be that blood sacrifice. And in this, will the church, the believers, have to face a blood sacrifice?
Christ.
Oh, Christ. What if you don't love your life unto death?
Right.
That's a blood sacrifice. Right? We gotta love His word over you. If you don't love your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, or if you don't love me more than them, and even your own life, you cannot be my disciple.
Your whole life depends on this book.
Yeah, absolutely. Fauci is a liar. Mm-hmm. You go ahead, sister.
The devil.
No. Yeah. I saw this great thing. It's just like, ta-da!
Always.
Okay, always. Okay, so. So anyhow, white robes were given, but they didn't put them on. All right, we see that that's plainly in verse 11. It was given to them. It was said that they should rest a little season. All right, so I don't know exactly what year into the tribulation this is seen. All right, but he said, chill out. All right, they're outside of what we know as time. You know, so they didn't say, all right, well, 3.5 years from here. You know, a little season. Calm down. So time, a form of time is there because they're told to wait until the next thing happens. The rest of those who are to be wiped out, okay, by the Antichrist. We know that from Daniel. Is it 2 or 3? Talks about that the Antichrist will make war with the saints. And it's 2, right? And again, in Revelation chapter 13, he says that the beast is going to make war and overcome the saints. All right? So if he's going to overcome the saints, where are the saints supposed to be? Oh, we're in heaven, right? We're all sitting at the table of God at the Bema seat, and oh man, it was so good. No, that's not when that happens.
HR1 coming through, isn't that kind of like laying the groundwork for the
end? I believe everything we've seen in the last 2 years has been laying a gentle foundation, going all the way back to the Abrahamic Accord, when that started. And we don't know when those first people signed on to that. It tells us in Daniel that this is going to begin the 7 years, this treaty between Israel and the world. This little horn's going to rise up and he's going to make peace. Now, make peace with who? With the tribes of with Esau and Jacob. Remember when they split up? What's God need to do to bring that family back together?
Covenant.
He's got a covenant. He's got to bring these. And actually, there's three. Abraham had a second wife. They had kids. Abraham blessed them and kicked them out of the house. You know? So, paraphrasing. I can't call her name. I have such a hard time.
Keturah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Get a picture up of Keturah as she had these children. Ta-da! I'm here all week. So all of those families, all of those tribes, and wherever they've been scattered, this little horn rising up is going to make a covenant that's going to make peace. Right now, you know that in this Abrahamic Accord, even though the fellow who set it up is no longer visibly in power, it's still going on.
But it says Antichrist will confirm the covenant.
Yes.
So the covenants are already in place. Antichrist just confirmed.
But
first it was good.
Yeah.
They're doing, Antichrist is going to confirm. Okay. We actually don't know when the 7 years starts.
Yeah.
You don't know. You
don't know.
It kind of blends into tribulation for the last 2,000 years.
Right.
So you'll know at the abomination of desolation.
Right. That's why Jesus says, look for this point. When you see this thing happening, that's when you know. And we know that is when, out of the 7 years. When is that? It's the midpoint, 3.5 years. So for 3.5 years, all this stuff is going on. And the folks who aren't paying attention don't even see it. The vaccine's good. Just take it. You can trust me. I'm the government. You know, trust the new world order because we had what's in your best interest from our opinion. You know, don't worry about eating meat no more.
Yeah.
Oh, it's we're already coming into this time. This HR bill gets passed. It will be illegal to marry.
Whoa, is that part of it?
That's watch it unfold.
That's 1 Timothy.
Watch it unfold. Okay, I don't know if that is actually verbed out in there, but once they get the genders of humankind so mixed up, the next logical step is just the next logical step.
It's a bad one.
Yeah.
I think it's very Taylor Greene's going to sign it next to her door.
Yeah. Who?
Chris, the Democrat.
Patrick Henry.
Yeah. I was in Bible. Go ahead. There's a sign on some congresswoman's door.
Right. She's a new congress lady.
Okay.
And her ass, the Democrat across the hall from her.
Yeah.
She put up her gay pride flag to her ass. Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Greene put up a sign. Two genders.
Oh.
You should try to read that verse.
Yeah. He's right at it right now. You're in 2 Timothy there? Yeah, you're
in 2
Timothy.
Read it
out loud.
No, I'm in 1 Timothy. Okay, now the Spirit, chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, that's coming next,
that's
commanding to abstain from meats,
mm-hmm.
which that's one of the reasons why all that language being brought up by Billy Boy Gates.
Billy Gates.
Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I think God put that scripture in there about the meats and the commanding not to be forbidding to marry. Jump out at people, hit them between the eyes and go,
only
oh,
if
what
you're
is
looking.
This?
Yeah. Only if you're looking. Because if you're not looking,
I need a baby.
I think more and more people
can I get the baby, saying, Daddy?
A plant-based diet. That seems to be a big trend right now. Do you think like a precursor to kind of...
Well, how do you get a whole group of people into the same thing? McDonald's is making a new veggie burger. It tastes so good. It's the best flavored cardboard you'll ever eat. Right? And just go ahead, chew on this for a while. And you put it in your mind. So if you train the kids that are going to McDonald's today to eat chicken McNuggets, which is not chicken, all right, I've cut apart a lot of chickens. I've never seen a McNugget come out of one. Okay? The meat consistency, it's not chicken. I don't know what it is, but it's not chicken. Anyhow, so they're already preparing people's mindset to get used to this. So it's the frog in the water thing. You turn it up a little bit at a time. And as we're seeing these times turning up a little bit at a time, Gates just said that everybody within the next few years needs to be eating synthetic meat. Because I'm buying up all the farmland, and you're not going to be able to have meat. So unless you know how to go out there and catch it and kill it and skin it and cook it yourself, you ain't going to find meat. Who here trusts the butcher at Wegmans? All right? That stuff that they're sending all ground up together? I can't guarantee you that's meat. Now, the stuff in the freezer here, I know that's meat because it was killed right over there. It was ground up by my butcher right over there, and it's all packaged up. And I know where it is. Right?
How do you get a whole world to wear masks, locked down, out of fear, and intimidation?
And how many
people that should know better?
Right.
Churches.
Right.
If it were possible, even the election.
That's right.
Some of them are.
So a lot of the folks who consider themselves elect are being fooled.
Us of all people.
Yeah.
Us, the body of Christ.
The people who should know better.
Well, you've got everybody glued to the TV.
Yes.
And the cell phone.
Right?
It's all
lies. That's a very old fashioned.
Yes.
That is that, you know, you can, I just registered, I brought a study for you to read.
Praise God.
But it talks, it's a little study called Brain Dead, and it speaks of the effect of the scientific, actually counted effects of what video feed does to the brain.
Yes.
And the frontal cortex shuts down, and it doesn't just shut down normally like when you go to sleep. It shuts down to the point where it doesn't function.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part of your brain that embraces reasoning, understanding, and filtering. So it's when you speak to somebody and this person says this and this person says that, your frontal cortex separates the two.
Yeah.
Which has a basis of understanding and which doesn't.
Yeah.
Truth from lie. That all takes place in the frontal cortex. And video feed alone it could be a bare screen. Just the flashing of a bare screen shuts it down. It is the effect of why people follow these lies. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a personal, I don't want to take too much time, but I have a personal, very personal experience in this. When the Lord set me upon understanding upon me, He protected me from all forms of video feed, and I mean zero. I'm talking zero forms of video feed for a stretch of about 7 months.
Right.
And I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't realize it until it had already taken place. And I couldn't figure out why these things were coming to understanding so fast.
Yeah.
Because my frontal cortex was being exercised, was being used, and it wasn't being shut down. When they shut that down, anything that plays backstream goes straight to the brain.
Yeah.
Into the very function of your body. People, we are being led astray by this very device. And it's a simple device.
Yeah.
And we're being led astray by it. It is the voice of Satan into the effect of pulling us away from the Lord.
Yeah.
It's so important to not look at that screen. If you saw the fire and the demons that stood behind that, you would know. I wish people could see that.
Well, I agree with that.
Reading exercises and all the blood vessels, they've shown it.
Right.
Comes to life when you read. That's why God gave us His Word and not His video. Very important. This is a hands-on, feet on the ground. Hands-on learning.
Jesus said, He's the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is the light of the world.
Right.
Yes.
And then he said, if your eye is single and sees light, that blesses
now,
right there.
If what they perceive as light is actually darkness, how deep?
Yes, because that's what the video does.
That's
you
does.
Think it's the truth and it's not. And it's the darkness in you. How great is that darkness?
That is great.
All right, let me ask you real quick. Do you sense the Holy Spirit opening up some thoughts?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me ask you this. When you go into the store and they take that little thing, that little radar, and they squirt it at your forehead, what's that doing?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Right?
Your temperature.
Well, they say it's your temperature, but what does it do? Because they're pointing it right here.
Right where they're going to put the mark.
Right where they're going to put the mark.
Right where they're going to put the mark. I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah?
They're going to your forehead or your hand.
Forehead or hand. And we're getting programmed for this time. And it started way back with Leave It to Beaver.
Yep. It started in California with the Nickelodeons.
Oh, come on.
And that's when they realized the effect that video had on to change the minds of people. And it became Hollywood at that point. This is the story that I understand it. Because the people that put forth the Nickelodeons and all the filth that was on, people were going to seek their own gratitude at that point. They're going to California. And they said, it seems as they're bewitched as it seems with a piece of Hollywood, which Holly was the tree that the witches wands. They still understood witchcraft at that time. Coming from the old world, they knew what witchcraft was, and witches took their wand from the holly tree.
Yeah.
And it seems as though they're bewitched by us with a piece of Hollywood. And we established that, and all the movie and theater that has come forth since then has been deceiving the nations.
Yeah. Why would we watch it?
Hollywood
has hated Jesus Christ in day one.
Because Satan causes you to worship him.
Thank you.
God knocks on the door. It's a choice. God gives you. Yeah. He knocks on the door. He says, open and I will come into you.
Yeah.
But Satan causes you to worship him.
It's a trance.
Yeah.
TV and all that stuff is, you know, when you're... I don't know if it's alpha, beta. Beta is a trance state, right?
Yeah.
Alpha is a discernment state. Yeah. The alpha is when I read a story, I'm reading words. Yeah. I have to incorporate the words. Yes. I have to
imagination.
I have to use my imagination. Yes. I have to create a setting. I have to. So it's a you're not in a beta state.
Right.
You're in an alpha state.
Yes.
When you go and watch TV, you've seen people watch TV, right? Yeah. You go, hey,
so down, right?
Hey, and the person's watching TV and they're like, because they're in a trance.
Yeah.
And that's where I think demonic activity can take place.
Right. Absolutely.
You're not engaged.
Well, they're just standing there with the cell phones and waiting.
Yeah.
But to take that one step farther, okay, with the not just reading, but when you're actually speaking the words. So I started this past week in the morning during my reading. I actually started reading it out loud.
Bring national obedience.
What a difference.
Bring the flesh into obedience according to the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring the flesh to obedience. Make the flesh do what the Spirit says to do.
Now, why is it so difficult sometimes to pray out loud? You ever notice that?
Yeah. Oh,
who's ever experienced that?
Because
I think it's that. There's something more going on.
The flesh is corrupt. Make it obey the Spirit.
This is
God draws, when you're reading this,
he's
drawing pictures. He's visually.
Yeah.
John is seeing visions.
Yes.
And what she was just saying, God did that to me a couple of years ago, start reading out loud.
Uh-huh.
You didn't do that. The Holy Spirit told you that.
Yeah.
We're just obedient because we believe this.
And there is power when you see it, you speak it, and you hear it. That's a trinity bounding that up together. Go ahead, sister.
Not just during my morning reading, but we've started kneeling beside our bed.
Oh, come on.
And praying out loud.
Yeah.
So we're suffering the flesh.
Yeah.
We suffer the flesh.
Yeah.
To bring into obedience and bringing the Trinity of our body together with the Trinity of God.
Amen.
You know what has happened in Christianity? They ignore the Holy Spirit.
They
ignore the power. They think that if you tap into the Holy Spirit, you're going to be doing cartwheels down the aisle, barking like dogs. That's not what's happening. The Holy Spirit wants to fill your cup.
Well, what is His job? To lead you into all righteousness, to lead you into truth, and to remind you what Jesus said. That's why we have that Comforter. All right? That's why He was sent to dwell in His flesh.
We spoke just a bit earlier about the Lord led me into Leviticus, which is not the easiest book in the world to read. It's very complicated, but the understanding that came out of that was God has set forth a path. Now, we're not under the law anymore that we can do this. The Lord does this through us, but he set to understanding how complicated and how many little things are set forth in those days in the understanding of sacrifice. But the Lord is unchangeable. He has set forth a very solid pattern in these very simple things, praying out loud and speaking the scriptures and so forth, are part of that understanding. It's not a free-for-all, you get to do it any way you want. God is very, very structured and unchangeable in his ways.
Yes.
And we need to come to him as he draws us, not as we think we can.
Amen.
It's very complicated, but yet it is doable by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We can't do it on our own, but the Holy Spirit leads. If we so seek him,
In saying that, if we want to worship God, I mean really worship in spirit and in truth, does that mean you get to do it your way?
No.
You can't. There are parameters that God has set up what worship looks like.
Can you be so faithful to deliver us if we pray to him for that? Ask God, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
He is so faithful in that. It's amazing.
When I was addicted to drugs and alcohol, okay, I used to witness to people when I was in an altered state. That was an abomination before God. I was taking the holiness, the goodness, the righteousness, regardless of what words were falling out of my mouth, my lifestyle was atrocious to the living God. And there was no fruit. There was no fruit in that.
That's going to be the ones that say, Lord, Lord,
yes,
get all right. these things. Mm-hmm. It's like, I never knew you.
Right.
We keep the law of Christ. So we keep Leviticus.
Yes.
We keep Passover, Pentecost, because he fulfilled all of those.
Yes. Yes.
So while we keep him, we actually do keep the law of Christ.
Yeah.
And Jesus, these are all the places I wrote down where Jesus said, if ye.
If ye,
yes,
come on. Yes.
Yes.
Now, how important is that little word, if?
Yeah.
So that gives you, if you don't do it, then all of those things don't happen.
Right.
If you do it, then all of those things do happen.
Right.
If you walk in holiness, if you stay abiding in the vine, if you die to yourself, if, now on the other side of if is you don't. All right, so there's a choice here.
Yes, there is.
So do we really believe what we say we believe is real? All right? Let that wash through your ears for a second.
Even while you were yet altered, though, I mean, just a little bit of me is like, even though you were in an altered state, you still were speaking about God.
Mm-hmm.
That does not come back void.
Satan was speaking about God.
Okay, but still put it down that person's mind,
yeah,
you know? Right?
Yeah.
That's an honor.
Paul
spoke that when he said some people
speak to create more problems, but still the Christ's name is being mentioned in that everybody.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Paul said that. He said, even if they're trying to get, they're coming against me, they're speaking the gospel.
Right.
These are coming for me. They're speaking the gospel.
Yeah.
I don't care. The gospel is being spoken.
There you go.
God honor.
But I really wasn't useful. Go ahead.
As witnesses, testimony was.
Right. But how many people think their witness and testimony is good? And
that's
still right.
Is that right?
How many people said, "Mark, what is this guy talking about? I don't want to hear him."
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. Definitely. I get that.
And so,
this is American Christianity. They have it here. It is
not here.
Yeah. God does not change their way.
And
they
believe
know it from?
That America is a godless nation.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
We used to be a God-filled nation. But we have turned away from the foundations of holiness, of righteousness, of following Him.
Well, praise God, he always keeps around.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Post.
There you go.
Post.
Yeah. Post. Yes.
Another radio pastor that I've heard says, when was the last time you heard anybody anywhere talk about somebody being a God-fearing man?
Yeah.
You never hear that.
Well, maybe you start down here.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to blow smoke up here, but we talk about God fear. What it means to fear God, reverence Him, and actually to be afraid.
Yeah, that fear from
God. I mean, when I think of God and His holiness, there's a real fear that when I stand before him, that I'm not going to line up. So what's that do? It keeps me on the narrow way.
This congregation, be thankful, because there's pastors who won't touch this. There are pastors that will not touch this book. Stay away from it. So be thankful when you're sitting on there, because you know what it says right here? Blessed is he that readeth and hear that. Hear the prophecies and hear those things that are written therein. There's a blessing in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And they have pastors that won't touch it. So,
yeah. Because it takes, if pastors really taught this book for just what it says, their congregation, they're afraid. Well, okay, here's a different thing. I'm sorry, I'm chasing it down the hole. If you have a building that costs more than you can afford, then you are a slave to the lender. All right? And there are people who have built these massive complexes that have to have everybody agreeing and paying to keep the lights on.
And milking down
the house. And milking down
the
house.
To keep people agreeing.
You got to milk down
the house. Can I just say, I know you guys are, who's this jerk? But Paul and myself came out of Lighthouse. Paul and me just came out of Lighthouse. I love Pastor Young. I love it there. I'm faithful there. 12 times, 16 times a month there, you know, the whole thing, they wouldn't talk about this. They would not talk about this. They wouldn't even bring it up. But when they did bring people in, it was always about dispensationalism. It was always about pre-trib. And every time you tried to bring it up, you're told to shut up and go sit in the corner. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I've been set free.
Glory to God. My sister was about to say something.
Well, something came to my mind when you said that about the property you own or being a slave to the lender, right? And having to have a payroll, having to have all these things. Small churches are the, I think, the answer for these things.
Absolutely.
And I watched this man going through all the things about the above there. And he said, churches aren't going to be in trouble because they're going to have to hire people or whatever. They're going to have to change.
Who said this?
Some guy. He was just
the wall of
Christ.
Churches.
And when he mentioned the things like who you can hire, who you can't hire, the bathrooms can't, you know, you have to let everybody in at your bathroom or whatever, and all the teachers and all that. But small churches won't have that.
They're not, because they're tax exempt, and therefore they will meet those standards.
Yeah.
If you're under 501c3, they can come in there and tell you what to do.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
So, unfortunately, when we made our founding documents, we didn't know you could start one without it. But we still pay our taxes. All right, so if they come and say, well, you're not going to do this because you didn't pay your taxes, so what?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And if we can't be in this building right here, you know what God just gave us? Next door. We just bought that. Next door, we got a house next door and another acre of land.
Yeah.
Praise God. You know what? They shut this building down, we'll go next door. But there is
a way of breaking off of 501c3.
It's really expensive, though.
Okay.
It's a lot of law stuff. Yeah, divorce from the government.
I want to read something as we were talking about fearing the Lord and really fearing the Lord. Here it's from Deuteronomy chapter 7. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send... thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible.
Amen. Terrible. Think about it. He's a terrible God.
God is love, God and God is love.
Yes.
But there's a different part. He's a jealous God.
He is a just God.
Right.
And if you're doing something outside of God's design, he is a just God, and you will be judged for that. All right? Go through the Galatians chapter 5, and it goes through the works of the flesh. Anyone practicing those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Drunkards, drug addicts, sex outside of marriage, fornicator, all of, there's a list of things, I can't go through them all. But all of that, if you're practicing that kind of stuff, you have no promise of eternal security. Romans chapter 1 goes through the list of things. They worship the creature rather than the creator, and God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not natural. And it goes through all that stuff, and he says not only they deserve death, not only those who do them, but those who agree with them that do them. You ain't even got to do it. You just got to agree with it. Go ahead, brother.
Change spirit. It's a change. It's a repentance. You didn't do it. He did it.
Right.
You just asked him. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of, there are nine things mentioned here of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yep.
Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So anyway, there's nine things. Nine things is the new birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a new birth.
That's a new birth. Yeah.
New birth. You're supposed to be a new person.
Yeah.
It's the same person.
And so, in all of good, sister.
Okay, so back in Deuteronomy, the Lord is talking to Moses, and Moses has given Joshua the words that the Lord gave him for as he's going into the new land. But
yes.
We're coming into a
Amen.
New season.
We
and
are.
He told him three times, be strong and courageous.
Courageous, yeah.
He was strong and courageous.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Lord had to tell him three times to be strong and courageous is that much more powerful, as he said it three times.
Yeah.
Isn't that phrase good courage? Isn't that what he used?
Have good courage.
Good courage. Yeah.
Good courage.
Not just courage, but
good courage.
How are we strong? How are we strong? We are strong when we yield to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That our strength is found in our strength is God's strength in us as we're found weak before Him. That's where we become strong in the understanding. And how are we courageous in it? How do we come to good courage? Because this stuff, put this on me this last week to understand this. Where does our courage come from? To be bold in what God is doing in our life. It's not courageous to go fight the battle. It's courageous to lay down before God and let God fight the battle, but then to proclaim it in boldness.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. Right. Be courageous.
Right.
God will protect us.
Mm-hmm.
But our strength is not our strength. It's His strength as we lay down before
Him. Well, if you look at the armor of God, how much of that belongs to you?
Right.
None of it. This is not your sword. This is the Spirit's sword.
Pastor, when I started understanding this and that we weren't going to be removed, I was saying, Lord, I can't. I'm not Rambo.
Right.
I'm not Chuck Norris. I can't. Mark 13,
uh-huh.
Discourse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand when you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever will be given you in that hour, may ye speak, for it is not ye.
Speaks
of the Holy Spirit. That's what I said. He's all right.
All right.
Fine. Yes. I'm in.
I don't have to study and worry about what I'm going to say. In fact, Jesus says, don't practice what you're going to say.
No.
In the hour you need it, you'll have it.
Turn the TV off. Get in your
mind. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just a real quick, let y'all guys know. This week I turned off the YouTube thing. All right. And it's just this week because I cannot tell you the ungodly amount of hours I spent watching 5 minute stupid things. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I need to know how to cut wood, but the best way to learn how to cut wood is get a chainsaw. Yeah, you know, learn how to do, you know. You have a shorter leg.
That is also the best way to follow our Lord.
Yes.
We can stay in college our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't get out there,
Amen.
And practice the trade and he's Jesus, you're not going to learn it. You have to.
Absolutely.
It has to be coupled. Faith has to be coupled with works.
And
it's not just about learning it, but it's about actually doing it. It's that's how it works.
Yes.
We have to actually put our feet on the ground and do it.
Not a hearer, but a
doer
of the
Amen.
Word. Right?
Amen.
A lot of folks here, very few, but amen, there's the 6 inches between your head and your heart. It's the action of being a Christian is much different than the confession of Christianity.
No.
that believing by faith is an action word. And a preparedness. We need to be prepared. That's where, believe it or not, we're going to get back to what we're starting to study. No, I'm going to let y'all guys know the way that the Holy Spirit works this study is much better than anything I have prepared. What we just talked about over the last hour has blessed my heart and strengthened me. You know, and it's not about what I thought we were going to talk about. And I'm so happy that it wasn't. Because y'all probably would have been sleeping by now. You know? But as the Holy Spirit takes apart, and I know that folks say, and I've heard this so many times, women ought not say anything in the church. Keep it to themselves until they go to their... Anybody hear that? How many times has that stifled the Holy Spirit in your ages? You know, where you were called by God to say something. To encourage your brethren. Right? And you didn't say it because, oh, there's that one scripture, you know, that Paul says that women are supposed to remain silent in the church.
Well, this is a Bible study.
Amen. Yeah. It's different when I'm preaching. But I've seen people get offended at this Bible study and leave because we allow females to... we allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. Amen? And praise God. If she comes today, Miss Mary Ann, love her. She's like my grandma. She's very vocal. She is... I love her to pieces. And yeah, you gotta love her. So if she comes and she talks a little bit during the sermon, suck it up. Okay, just get over it. You know, don't leave. Don't get offended. If you leave, leave because I'm not preaching gospel. Amen. If you feel like you gotta go, let it be because I'm doing something outside of the scripture, not because I hurt your feeling because I was in the scripture. Amen. Anyhow. Chasing that rabbit back onto the tracks. There are certain things that we're going to see. All right? We know, we talked about the souls on the altar, the white robes that are given to them, and the little season they're going to have to wait until the rest of the martyrs are killed. They're killed. They're not raptured, right? The rest of the martyrs are killed. Wait, the church doesn't get killed. That's not what the Bible says. Okay? It's not what the Bible says. Don't hold on to the idea that this life is worth keeping. It's not. It's an illusion. Real life starts when you breathe your last breath here. Bridget's giving birth, right? That baby in her belly right now doesn't know anything on the outside. Everything it needs is right there. It's never had oxygen in his lungs. He's never had the taste of a T-bone yet. All right? You say, well, it'll be a while before he does that. No, my kids, my little boys, when they were fresh out of the womb, I gave them pork chop bones to chew on so they would know what meat was. Right? Sure, it made them really boys. You know? And so, when they were teething, Todd, there is no better teething tool than a T-bone steak. You know, let them chew on it, because they ain't going to break it off. It's a big bone, right? Anyhow, all that being said, we think that everything that's worth having is right here. And unfortunately, the preaching from the pulpits for the last 100 years has let you know that all that we'll ever need is right in this little vapor that we're stuck in. Real life doesn't even start until you're born.
Amen.
And you don't get born in the real life until you get out of this one. That baby in the mama's womb thinks it has everything it needs right now. But it hasn't even seen what is yet to be unfolded in his life. We haven't even seen what's going to be unfolded. But we have a promise from God's Word. All right, we have a promise from God's Word in Revelation 6, 2 through 17. And by the grace of God, we're gonna grab into that. It's 6:12-17. And I beheld when I opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, not a regular one, a great one. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars fell unto earth as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. And the kings of earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bound man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? All right? I said a lot right there from Scripture, but it's really important why we've read the whole bit, because we need to get the full screen. And really, if I was going faithful to it, I would have read all the way through chapter 7 and part of chapter 8, because all of that is in this sixth seal. Okay, so in heaven, you see, the sixth seal is broken open. And there's something that happens right to start with. A great earthquake. And in this earthquake, we can deduct that all that the earth is changed, that the shaking by mountain, that the mountains are moved out of their places.
I got changed.
Wow. Now think about that. And that's before Jesus comes and sets foot on the earth. So when this sixth seal happens, there's going to be such upheaval on the planet, on the plane that we're living in.
Tsunamis.
So, earthquakes. All right? Great and massive earthquakes. And guess where the church is? Shake it with the rest of it. All right? Now, there are those that are being died. And guess what? When this earthquake happens, all the Christians and all the buildings that fall down, where do they go? To the Lord. All right? All of the islands and tsunamis and all of those who are born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, when that happens, where do they go? Come on, it's not rocket science here. Come, you go to the paradise. You go to God. Is that okay? It works for me. Amen. Who's that guy I was talking to? Says, I want to go on the first round. Yeah. Amen. I want to go. I want to be that I get up when I enter into the boxing ring. I want to eat the mat the first blow, right? Yeah. Bam, you're out of there. Okay, so you're there. You're on your own. Go ahead.
I got a verse for you.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12:27 said, 12:26. The voice that then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shall not shake the earth only, but also heaven.
Yeah.
Yet once more, signifying that the removing of those things that are shaken, of the things made, and those things which cannot be shaken, remain.
Amen. So if your faith is unshakable, doesn't matter if the mountains fall.
That's right.
If your faith is unshakable, it doesn't matter if the islands move. If you are who you are and you believe who Christ is and these things happen, good news.
Yeah, faith is easy. Be joyful.
Be joyful. Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before you.
Fourth dimension stuff.
Fourth dimension stuff.
It's eternal.
Amen. We got to get in this mindset that this isn't as good as it gets.
This isn't the real world.
This ain't, amen. I say that. This is an illusion of what reality is. Because of the fall, right? The fall, when Adam sinned, how much of nature fell? All of it.
The dog kills the cat.
Cat kills the rat.
Yeah, that's right.
And
all nature.
All of nature. And it's been groaning until the day of redemption. Yeah.
Actually, not all of nature, because
okay.
He sealed up the Garden of Eden.
Yes. Wow. Thank you. You're right. Yeah. Amen. You're right.
The Garden is most likely Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
That's how I thought that
before.
Or that paradise.
Yeah. Paradise. That paradise is saved by the cross.
Today you're going to be in paradise.
Yeah. Right. Paradise is also that same place where you looked up and saw Abraham and the other.
Where is the tree of life? In the midst of paradise.
The paradise. It's the paradise of God. So that garden. Yeah. He said the tree was still there, and there's a flaming sword guarding the tree. So he was saying the tree is definitely still there.
Yeah.
That's what studying Revelation does. Yeah. There's a blessing. Right. The book of Revelation assumes that you've been reading your Bible.
Amen. Because it goes across the spectrum from the Genesis all the way through. And so,
who reads understand? Because the more that you
understand. If you really understand, should that affect your walk?
It better.
It better. Are y'all heading up?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I love you guys.
See you, babies. Thanks for coming and being a part.
Oh, man, they were a real great part.
They are.
To me, it is a blessing. I love to hear the pitter patter of little feet. I really do. That's why I go around barefoot.
It's like elephant feet stomping to me sometimes.
And so, in this, and in the unveiling, God bless you, my brother. Go ahead. Yes.
In my reading this week, I read something. It was that commentary, so for what it's worth, said that Revelation 11 is the key to Revelation. Revelation is a key to the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the key to the New Testament.
When we get to chapter 11, we'll look for the key. Amen? The thing is the Word of God, this is the revealing of everything God has said. It's the culmination, the culmination of all of the things that have been written from the Genesis all the way up until the unveiling. And it's done in a very specific way and a very specific pattern.
People don't know how to read Revelation. It's not chronological.
Yes.
Like what you just read. It says right here, heaven open. I saw heaven open.
Yeah.
Well, Revelation 19 says, I saw heaven open.
Right.
That's the same event.
Same event,
it's
yes.
It's just the dimension opening up.
Yes.
So people try to understand the book of Revelation chronologically. It is, but it isn't.
Well, it's,
there are things that match up with each other.
It's the same picture from a different viewpoint.
That's what I got.
Okay.
Right.
So that's why I said these first... The sealed judgments, when you read them and unfold it against the backdrop of the rest of the scripture, when you get into the vial judgments and the trumpet and vial judgments, and you get into Revelation 12 and 13, and you get to seeing these pictures. Yeah.
I think it's like the gospel synoptic.
Thank
gospel.
You. Yes.
It's like it's giving you the different perspectives, different angles to get that three-dimensional look view.
You can see right there in 16 and 17, it says, for the great day of his wrath is
come.
So that goes to the end.
It goes to the end.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
The last two verses of Revelation 5, remember that? Millennial reign.
Uh-huh, yes.
It jumps right to millennial
reign.
Why? It's just the way it is, you know.
Okay, just one more thing. To understand the book of Revelation, the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, and all seven vials are the same event.
They're
all the wrath of, you'll find the word wrath.
Yes.
It's all the day of wrath.
A trumpet sounds.
That's right.
What was the sixth seal?
The sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, and all seven vials.
Yeah. And so, actually, when we, next week, Lord willing, and we get into, I'm going to take the trumpet judgments and the vial judgments on a line, and we're going to look at both of them at the same time. And you'll be able to pick out the similarities. The things that happen here are happening there. I got it on my blackboard. Anyone who wants to go in there and look at it, I have it laid out as this side, that side. It's like taking a piece of wood, splitting it, and opening it.
Yeah.
So you have a mirrored image of the other piece of wood. It is the same thing. See, we have it all, because of dispensationalism, we have it cut down into these blocks.
Well, the trumpet involves earth, sea, water. Mm-hmm. But the first six trumpets are not his fullness.
No.
It's a third.
No. Yes.
It's a third of the seas. When you match those up with the vials, now it's its full force
in
the vials. So it's very easy. The sixth seal, you see the day of wrath.
Right.
The seventh trumpet, the kingdoms of the seventh, the last. The resurrection.
Yes.
The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Christ.
Right.
That's the end of the world.
Yes.
And all seven vials are the fullness of his wrath.
Yeah. And, I saw that in here this morning. The King's Home. Yeah, that is in the... You're right. So anyhow, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves in that portion. Yes.
Can I make an observation?
Yes, you
ask for a comment. The first four seals are all introduced by each of the four separate beasts. And each of them says, come and see.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets to the fifth seal, he just sees it, And so he's told to come and see.
Right.
And after that, he just sees them. Oh. Now, there's four different horses with four different judgments, with four different riders,
yeah,
four different gospels, four different directions on the compass. With there's four chambers of the heart.
Four is dimensional.
Yes. All the, I'm just wondering if anybody wants to make an observation based on just what I said.
Who wants to crack that egg and scramble it up?
Zechariah, you read Zechariah, the horses are spirits.
Yes, amen.
Spirits.
Yes,
they are. That's the spirit of Antichrist and his gospel going forward.
Right.
Right? And what do? They kill the Christians.
What about the four? The four seems to be significant here.
Death and hell. That's where they're going to end up.
That's where they end up. But the number four in these, the four gospels, the four horsemen.
That's right. So our dimensional is heaven. Their dimensional is hell. So the fourth that is mentioned, death and hell, followed with him. That's what Mystery Babylon is not New York City.
No.
It's the world.
It's the world.
We're a city on a hill. We're heavenly Jerusalem. We're the bride. They're the anti-bride. They're Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to burn in hell. That's their dimension. That's your fourth one mentioned there. But those four horses, they're not. They're spirits. Zechariah 4 says that they are spirits, and these are wicked spirits going forth.
Right. The three that are released from the river of Euphrates, they're spirits. When the bottomless pit is unlocked, and those demonette things come up.
Revelation 12 says, I saw three unclean spirits come out of the mouth.
Yes.
How did he get Eve? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's all he has on us.
Yeah.
It's all he has. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life.
Amen. He's a one-trick pony with three bullets. That's all he's got.
That's right.
And how well he uses those. How much he has deceived the whole world. And when we look at him, when we see him, we say, He's the one that deceived us? This little squirt? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not challenging him in any way.
The Lord rebukes you.
So even as I'm saying that, I'm repeating scripture, okay? When we see him, we're going to say, this is the one that deceived the world? We're going to be astonished at how much not what he is, not what we thought he is. Was that you, Mary?
No.
Oh. Yes.
He's the defeated foe.
Yeah.
He's already fallen.
Yeah, he's already fallen. He was defeated at the cross, but he just hasn't quit fighting. There's this whole time of the church from the coming of Pentecost until the taking out of the body of Christ is a testing of those who really believe what the Word of God says. It's just a test. Don't adjust your sets. This is only a test. All right? So don't get off the Word. Don't get off the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we see these things unfolding and being revealed to us, don't panic. Trust God. Move forward. When the Israelites saw the army of Egypt coming behind them, seas on one side, a massive army on the other side. God says to Moses, tell the people to move forward. Hey, all you guys down there, everybody move toward the water. What a stupid move. Anybody here ever studied battles? The battle's never to put your back against the wall where there is no escape.
It was a long swim, right?
It was a long swim. Well, and they didn't understand. And then what did Moses have to do? Raise a stick. That's all he had to do. What did Moses do in that whole thing? He stood on a rock where everybody could see him, and he raised up the standard of God. And when he did, what happened? A way of escape. The church is going to have, we're going to have our backs against a wall.
You're going to need this.
We're going to need this.
Talk about that pole.
Yeah.
Sin would be dealt with on the pole.
Amen.
Can I give you another verse?
Yes.
From Mark 13, all of the discourse.
Oh, come on.
It says, when you shall hear wars, rumors of wars, be not troubled.
Yeah.
Be not troubled.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see these things start to happen, he's telling you not to be troubled.
Right. Amen.
But you need this.
And do
do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But
there you go.
And they fear him who is able to destroy away
the
body and the soul.
Amen. Amen. That's, again, read the whole verse. Read it all. And so in this, when we see the sun and the moon and all that darkness, now I was told, all of Joel has to deal with the millennial reign of Christ. Is that Bible?
It's the last day.
Well, he says that Joel 2:10 talks about the sun and the moon being darkened. Jesus talked about the sun and the moon being darkened. Isaiah talked about the sun and the moon being darkened.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
All the scriptures.
Amen. It's there's something. Well, how do you think this here, the sun and the moon being darkened, that isn't the day of the Lord. That's still yet to come.
That comes that happens right before Christ appears.
Yes.
That happens.
Right.
The whole world is going to wake up to darkness.
Right.
The power is going to be off. Uh-huh. Everybody's going to be wondering what is going on.
We're in Houston.
He rips the veil. He appears. Yes. Luke 17 said, yeah, "There's lightning from east to west."
West.
He comes in the cloud. He rips the veil wide open.
Yeah.
So now everybody sees it.
Yeah.
The artificial light is shut off.
And the
real light comes in.
Amen.
Right.
Well, even in the very beginning.
Joel says, the sun, all that stuff, the sun, moon, darkness,
before the great day of the Lord. Yes.
Matthew says sun and moon after the tribulation.
Yeah.
So it's one day right before Christ is going to rip the veil.
Yeah. And think on this, when God created everything, he said, "Let there be light." When was the sun made in the stars?
After.
Amen. So God lit the world, all right, before he ever created the sun. And you know, we go to flat earth.
It was blurry.
I love you guys. It's almost that time. Amen. Another wonderful Bible study. Thank you guys for participating. And being a part of this next week, by the grace of God, we need to talk about the 144,000, you know, and anyhow, study it, read it, and we'll unpeel that banana when we get to
it. Study it, read it. They're not here.
Amen.
They're not here.
Come on now.
They're not here.
Yeah.
The two witnesses are Elijah Gould. 144,000 are not on the earth.
Okay. Good deal. That is a great key of study. Let's unfold that. Because there's more questions. Because we've never really looked at it.
Well, and I heard that too, that there are 144,000 Jewish evangelists. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say they're evangelizing.
No.
They're not here.
Yeah.
Jewish people, believe me, and I'm not, this is not replacement theology. He's not done with that.
Right.
He's going to rescue a third of them.
Yep.
But they don't know what tribe they're from.
Right.
They have no clue when the
every temple was destroyed. 70,
that's right. They
all
have
the
no
records.
Clue what tribe he's. Ezekiel 37 says that he's going to make the two, Judah and Israel, one stick. They don't know what tribes they're from, but he is going to rescue a third of them.
Amen.
Those 144,000, they've already been redeemed. They're already in heaven.
All right, break down. Who wants to close in prayer?
I apologize.
We're going to have to hit you for saying
that. So 50 lashes with a wet noodle. This is what being a Berean is all about. All right, this is what it is. I believe when the Bereans sat down and they looked at what Paul wrote, and they went back to the scripture to see if these things were real. That's all we're doing. Right? That's all we're doing.
Well, if you don't mind, can I close it?
Yes, I don't mind. Yeah.
Father God, we do come before you just so thankful of the revelation of your Son. That's what it's all about. The revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And when you saw a sinful, hopeless world, he came down and saved us. Didn't have to do it. And we just thank you that your grace has been poured out upon the people that saw the depravity of mankind, and because he loved human grace so much that he became one of us, lived like one of us, only to be rejected by us, that he would save us.
And I thank you, Father God, for this church. I thank you for Pastor Fitz. I thank you for the fellowship, just feeling right at home already in this place. Thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that is sent to guide us and teach us the Word of God. Thank you for the things that were brought up today, how not to trust the world, but just trust your Scriptures. Mm-hmm. Father God, I just thank you for meeting us here in this place this morning. Clearly, the Holy Spirit dwells within this place among these people. And I pray that you would bless Pastor Fitz as he brings us a message this morning to even draw us closer to you. Father God, if I have offended anybody, please have them have mercy upon me. And I'm just thankful for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.